Please turn with me in your Bibles to Ecclesiastes chapter 3. And if you've got a Pew Bible, you'll find that around page 554 in the Old Testament. It says here, a time for everything. For everything there is a season and a time for every matter under heaven. A time to be born and a time to die. A time to plant and a time to pluck up what was planted. A time to kill and a time to heal. A time to break down and a time to build up. A time to weep and a time to laugh. A time to mourn and a time to dance. A time to cast away stones and a time to gather stones together. A time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing. A time to seek and a time to lose. A time to keep and a time to cast away. A time to tear and a time to sow. A time to keep silence and a time to speak. A time to love and a time to hate. A time for war and a time for peace. What gain has the worker from his toil? I've seen the business that God has given to the children of men to be busy with. He's made everything beautiful in its time. Also, he has put eternity into man's heart. Yet so that he cannot find out what God has done from the beginning to the end. I perceived that there is nothing better for them than to be joyful and to do good as long as they live. Also, that everyone should eat and drink and take pleasure in all his toil. This is God's gift to man. I perceived that whatever God does endures forever. Nothing can be added to it, nor anything taken away from it. God has done it so that the people fear before him. That which is already has been, and that which is to be already has been. And God seeks what has been driven away. So far, the reading of his word this morning.
Let's ask the Lord's blessing on his word this morning. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, as we again listen to your word, we pray that you would open our ears to hear and our hearts to believe, to trust, and to give ourselves to you, to understand the rhythm of life and your design for us to sing your praises in that rhythm. Lord, bless us with your word and hearing it this morning, with the work of your Spirit, to use this word to minister to our souls your grace. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Beloved congregation of the Lord Jesus Christ, this morning we listen to Ecclesiastes, and particularly the opening verses have a particular rhythm of life that is reflected there. That's a part of scripture that can easily be turned into the song. In fact, it has been. And we recognize this rhythm. But I'd like us to look particularly this morning at verses 9 through 14 as we reflect upon the variety of different experiences that we have and to understand what time it really is. What time is it? Is it a time to be born or a time to die? Plant or pluck up what is planted? Kill or heal? Break down or build up? How do we deal with these cycles of time, the different experiences? The book of Ecclesiastes is a book about life. And it can be a very difficult book, but it's a challenging book as well. And there's one phrase that comes up throughout the book, and that phrase is, vanity of vanities, all is vanity. We might appreciate that sort of cynicism. If you're someone who sometimes sees the cup as half empty, a pessimist, cynicism is your natural neighbor. And we look at life and we say, what's the point, really? But also, the book of Ecclesiastes reminds us that there is this notion, because it is life lived under the sun. That's another recurring refrain that happens in this book. Life lived under the sun. Life lived for the here and now. Life lived without an eternal perspective, without a view of the beginning points and the end points of life, without an eternal perspective from God's word, will tend towards vanity. Being fed up with life. Not being able to tell what time it really is. We will begin to think that, well, this is as good as it gets. This is life. It is what it is. Just suck it up and carry on. But then we have these glimpses and glimmers of how God, in His Word and in His revelation of Jesus Christ, gives us hope and helps us to find joy in the passing of time. That's the struggle of life, isn't it? You hear these variations, time to be born, a time to die, a time to plant, a time to pluck up. There's this constant struggle. How do we maintain balance between these variations in time, these struggles that we constantly have? That's again the grand anticipation of the new year, 2021. And maybe you've heard this, maybe you've talked about it with your mates. 2020 has been a shocking year. Well, because 2020 has been such a difficult year, 2021 has got to be a better year, because can it get much worse? The reality is that it can. And we need to be aware of that. But this is what the song is all about as well. Some may sing Auld Lang Syne. Auld Lang Syne is just the good old times. Ask the question, should old acquaintance be forgotten? The obvious answer is, of course not. Good acquaintances, or the old acquaintances, are those who've been with you through thick and thin. Should they never be brought to mind? Oh, please remember your good old times and your acquaintances who've been with you through those good times and those bad times. But let's face tomorrow. Because if you're in the doldrums today, perhaps the winds will pick up for tomorrow. But again, the author of Ecclesiastes gives us a different view. How do you find balance? If it's bad, do you just hope for the good? No. The author of Ecclesiastes reminds us of an eternal perspective. And there's two particular aspects that chapter 3 is dealing with, particularly our text is dealing with, and it's those variations in our life cycles between work and pleasure, between labor and holiday, work and pleasure. And it presents us with God's eternal perspective on work and pleasure in the cycles of time, in the rhythm of life, and the variations that we go through. Now, as we look at these, work and pleasure, I think the structure of our text is such that it sets out the problem and then gives a solution for both our consideration of work and our consideration of pleasure. So if you're taking notes, or if you're making mental notes, which I would encourage all of you to do, that's what we're going to look at. As we look at work first, a time to realize our work, we're going to hear the problem from God's word and then consider the solution that God gives. And the same with pleasure. The problem and then the solution. So first of all, as we look forward to the new year and as we anticipate this, I would like us to recognize it's a time to realize our work. Humanity spends much of their life in work. In work. Labor. And the author of Ecclesiastes reminds us there's a particular difficulty about this. What gain has the worker from his toil? What benefit is there? The preacher speaks realistically about the character of work, that there's a particular burden to work. And you know what that burden is? For those who live in the corporate world, you might set your targets for the year, and if you meet those targets, it's not a pat on the back. It might be just a good job, but guess what? Next year's targets, they're going to be higher. They're going to be further. There's more that you have to do. There's this character of work, isn't there? It's never finished. It's never complete. There's always more that you can do. That's the effect of sin in this world. Our work is not the curse. God isn't saying, yes, that's the cursed character of work. No, it's work is not a curse. We've been created to work. That's the way God designed us. He's designed us to serve, to work diligently, to work faithfully. That's the way God created us. But our work, since the fall, is under a curse. And the preacher in Ecclesiastes recognizes this. So what point is there? What is the point of man's time and work if it's never finished? Should I even try and attempt to do good work? You know, we experience this. Children, you recognize this, don't you? You build a tower with blocks, and a brother and sister will come along and they'll knock it over. And you work so hard, and it can't stand. You get busy playing with your toys, and mom or dad comes and says, you have to pick up your room. Oh, it's frustrating. Oh, we just got started. It's something mom and dad's face, adults face, teenagers face. It's the problem of deterioration. You would think that if you would build something and just let it be, let no one touch it, let no one deal with it, it will endure. But time destroys everything. Nothing lasts. There's this problem of deterioration. God has laid the burden of labor on man. There's a time to break down and a time to build up. Invariably, what you build today will, in the future, need to be torn down. And this causes the preacher to pause, and it should cause us to pause. Is there really any point in working harder in 2021 than you did in 2020? There's a meaninglessness, a vanity to work. And sometimes we're tempted to give up, to become cynical. What's the point, really? This is as good as it gets. I'll just do my time and get the paycheck. But that's not the solution that God's Word gives. And God's Word gives us something to be more hopeful about, something to be more certain of for 2021, to commit ourselves to yet another year of service and work and labor in God's kingdom. Listen to what the author of Ecclesiastes says. It looks at God's work. It gives us God's perspective. And he says, I've seen the business that God has given to the children of man to be busy with. And then it goes back to God's perspective in verse 11. He has made everything beautiful in its time. And then he says in verse 14, most profoundly, in verse 14, I perceived that whatever God does endures forever. Can you imagine that? because we don't see that around us. The work we do is never complete. It's never enough. It's never fully satisfactory. But what God does will endure forever, and He makes everything beautiful in its time. And it is this perspective that causes us to step back and to step forward in faith, recognizing that we can be delivered through His work, through His accomplishment, from the meaningless existence that looks at work and says, in the rhythm of labor, there is a purpose. Because God has promised, and God says to us in His word, that He will use what we do. He uses our accomplishment to make things beautiful. And this resolves the problem, because what we see in our work is not what we are doing, not what we are accomplishing, not what we can succeed in, but how God is using us, the eternal God who knows no boundaries, the infinite God who has no limits, has promised to use what we have to accomplish His purpose. And when we offer it to Him in service and devotion to Him, He says it will endure forever. Imagine that. This is the promise that God gives us in Revelation 14. Don't turn there. Just listen. Just listen. And it's dealing particularly with those who have died. Blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from now on. Their life has been finished. Their life is complete. Yes, says the Spirit, they will rest from their labor. And then it gives the reason. For their deeds will follow them. Their deeds will follow them. What you do has significance, because God is using that to accomplish His purpose. What we are striving for in the work that we do has meaning and significance when we learn to look at God's plan and to see that we contribute what He can use for the honor and glory of His name, but also what will endure to eternity. And so we are called in our labor to perceive this, that what God does will endure forever. And imagine the security in that, because the author of Ecclesiastes says, nothing can be added to it or taken from it. Because it's His accomplishment. And so we're called, in the rhythm of life, in the variations of work and pleasure, to recognize the problem that if we're just working for the here and now, for our own entitlement, for our own accomplishment, for our own security, it will be meaningless. But what you do for the Lord is never in vain. That's the solution to the problem of work. But then we also move on, secondly, to reflect upon our pleasure. Verses 12 through 13 deal with our pleasure. I perceive that there is nothing better for them than to be joyful and to do good as long as they live. Man knows there should be more to this life than work, don't we? This is what makes him always look forward to the future, always with an anticipation that tomorrow is going to be better than today. And the amazing connection that the preacher offers here is the relationship between the eternity that man has set in, or that God has set in man's heart. This is part of his eternal perspective. That because he looks forward and anticipates a tomorrow, man recognizes that there's more than the here and now, and the pleasures that he seeks for the future. And we recognize from Scripture as well that pleasure is often compared to a fire. To a fire. It very easily burns out of control. And now when we're talking about pleasures, we're not talking about the immoral pleasures, though the immoral pleasures certainly do that. They quickly burn out of control. But I think what God's word is talking about here in Ecclesiastes is the good pleasures, the pleasures of blessed things, of good things that God designates to be good, times with the family, sports and recreation, community events and serving one another within the community, holidays and vacations that we go away and we spend time relaxing. Those are good things that God says are appropriate for man to use and to enjoy. But the danger is when everything we do is designed to feed those fires of pleasure, it soon becomes a wildfire in our hearts that consumes and destroys us. When that's what we're living for, and when that's what we're looking for, and that's what we're putting our hopes on and putting our joy in, this is what happens when pleasures become our goal. It's the desire to have what is eternal right here and right now. It easily gets control of us. That's the problem. The problem with pleasure. But notice the preacher's solution as well. We might be tempted, because there can be such a problem in making pleasure our goal, that we need to extinguish the fire. That's not what the preacher says. The preacher offers a different solution. He says it in verse 12, "I perceive that there is nothing better for them to be joyful and to do good as long as they live. Also, that everyone should eat and drink and take pleasure in all of his toil." Enjoy yourself, but keep your pleasure under control. Why? It's that last line in verse 13. This is God's gift to man. How good God is. God gives us pleasure in so many things that are good. And he says, this is what I want you to keep in check. Here it is, gratitude. Gratitude is that way to counter the raging fire. It's not extinguish the fire and don't take pleasure in everything, but recognize the gratitude that you can have that God is the one who has given you this gift of pleasure. God's grace, God's goodness, God's blessing is what keeps the wildfire of pleasure in check. So for 2021, yes, work hard. But not because of what you're going to accomplish, not because of how your work is going to endure, not because of what your work is going to secure, but serve the Lord. And he will sustain what you do. And he will preserve what you give to him. And enjoy yourself. Pursue the good things that God identifies as good. Not the immoral pleasures, but pursue the good. And when you enjoy it, and when you receive it, recognize that this is God's gift to man. And be grateful. Be content if God withholds those pleasures, that he has a different purpose and a different design for you. So, people of God, as we close this year, what time is it? What time is it? Where are you in the rhythm of life? Well, God's word directs us. It's time to realize the character of work. What are your plans for labor in 2021. Will you do it for the Lord? How do you reflect upon the fire of your pleasures? Evaluate what are the problems and hear and heed the solutions that God's word gives. What result are you pursuing? What may seem vain can be used by him for the most amazing tasks. As we conclude, just a couple of illustrations. Think for a moment of the widow in Elijah's day, who'd used up everything that she owned, and she only had enough bread or enough flour and oil or enough grain and oil for one meal with her son, the last meal. And Elijah, the prophet of God, the man of God, comes and says, "Make me a meal." She says, "This is all I have." But she does so, and she receives from the Lord a provision for the remainder of the famine. Or the boy who came to the disciples when Jesus needed to feed the thousands. And the boy comes with 5 loaves of bread and a few small fish. "This is all I have." And the Lord adds his blessing upon it. God has a purpose and a promise. He will make everything beautiful in its time. And your pleasures? Do you see the problem, how easily your heart can be ensnared by them? When the good becomes our God, when the good life is our pursuit, the solution is to see God's gift. This is what God gives to man. Whatever God does endures forever. It's a summons for worship that the author of Ecclesiastes closes with. God has done it so that people fear before him. You see, worship is that thing that keeps our pleasure and our work in perspective. This is what the psalmist said, Psalm 37, verse 4. "Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart." See, the problem isn't pleasure, it's where you're seeking your pleasure. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. There's been a quote from Augustine floating around on the internet. I don't remember where I saw it, but it's a quote that comes from his sermon on 1 John 4 that picks up this notion of Psalm 37, verse 4. It says, love God, and do what you will. It's very scary to say that, isn't it? Love God and do what you will. What's the first thing that you hear? What's the first permission that you hear from that? Where does your heart go? Where does your mind go? What do you seek? Whom do you serve? Love God. Let your whole being be consumed with a love for God. And do what you will for 2021. Amen.